Well, it's great to see everyone this morning. The vacationers are obviously gone. It's a small crowd this morning, but that's okay. We're here to worship God together, and it's great to see everyone that is here and able to worship with us. I encourage you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're taking our lesson from there this morning. A few of Mark's songs he selected were associated with this passage, including the one we just sang about number 78, not the invitation song. I had my bookmark, the invitation song. Jesus will give you, or hark the gentle voice of Jesus. The message is what I want to cover for our lesson today. Is what Jesus brings, and what Jesus offers to us as we think about and consider our life and the state of this of our life in this world, even. And we live in a world where we're pretty comfortable, right? We're comfortable. We have air conditioning. We love air conditioning. Didn't have to have it so much yesterday, maybe, but hey, it got hot last week, right? And so we have comforts. And we are protected from so many trials that it's hard for us to relate maybe to generations gone by. And that's actually, I just a little seed thought here, something in the future. I plan on doing some lesson thinking about the culture of the Bible times, okay? Which is basically, if you roll back at least 150 years, the culture was a lot different than it is today. And there are some terms even in our lesson today that we may not completely associate with, and even as I studied with it, I'm sure there's more I could learn about the farming culture, that subsistence culture, but there's a great lesson here. As Jesus offers rest for the weary, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And as I studied this, I listened to those terms, and as we sung the song, I listened to the terms, and I'm like, wait a minute. Those words have so much more meaning than I remember. Because I don't know about you, I grew up singing these songs since I was little. Okay? And a lot of times the words are just words because I got the song memorized, basically, right? I may not know the message, but I got the words memorized, and I don't think about them sometimes. But these words have meaning. I'm going to take a look at those because it was enlightening for me, and maybe it will be for you as well, of what Jesus is referring to here. And it's the idea that we are labored and we are heavy laden today. We may not realize it. And some of that may be blinded from us and hidden from us. And so as we look at this, first thing that comes to my mind is we need Jesus. We need Jesus. He is a necessity for us. We cannot operate in this world without Jesus. Now, if we take God out of our lives, become atheists, you know what? We can survive in this life. We can survive. It's not a good life. And I want to look at some of those things that Jesus brings us, the good life that he brings us. Aside from the spiritual aspects that we can't lay our fingers on, we can't see the spiritual aspects of that Jesus offers for us. But I think we all probably all recognize here, we need Jesus. Without Jesus, there are many things we don't have. And in this case, he talks about those who are labored and heavy laden. The idea is labor is fatigue. Now, if somebody told me fatigue, I understand fatigue. Fatigue is, I'm tired, I can't go no more. I've spent everything I can do is gone. I have to sit down, I have to rest. The word labor to me is obviously there's a more powerful statement here that Jesus was saying than just the fact of labor. It's that we're actually fatigued. We're done. We're completely exhausted is the idea behind that. And then the idea of heavy laden is actually being loaded up with weight. They're just piled on. And we can do that in our lives in many different ways. It's not just maybe carrying groceries in the house or whatever loads we might get. Those packages of water, I guess they've got those sizes just right, about 45 or 50 pounds. I don't know, but they're heavy, aren't they? You can get a pack of water and they are heavy. Well, this is the idea of being heavy laden is just loaded up with weight. So not only are we just weighted down, we're fatigued. And that's what Jesus was calling to in his audience. Come unto me, all of you who are fatigued. All of you that are carrying these heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Well, and so that's what we want to look at here. His offer of rest. Now, here's the idea of rest. What does it mean for rest? Does it mean I sit down and recliner? Take a nap, kind of rest? And that's not the kind of rest Jesus is offering. Jesus is offering a relief. Because actually, he's offering a different burden. He's actually offering something better. In verse 30, his relief is, if you go to the conclusion, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, we're not set free of a yoke. We're not set free of a burden. They're a relief, though. They're good burdens. They're good for us. And we're going to talk about those a little bit. He brings an end to the weariness and heavy burdens. You know, and if you think about the lessons that we've talked about, studied, where with Jesus, as he come into Jerusalem on the donkey, remember that? And the people lay down the palm leaves and they're clothing in front of him. What did they say? Save us. Why? Because they were weary. Because they were heavy laden. They were burdened. They were in distress. They needed help. And guess what? That's when people turn to the Lord, isn't it? When we get down, when it gets difficult, we look for help. We look for help. And we do that in life. And we may decide that, hey, I need to do better. I'm just tired physically. I'm just not healthy. And I'm gonna loosen up again. But I'm going to go to a gym. Or I'm going to find somebody healthy, like a dietitian or a trainer. Maybe we want to get our golf game better. So we go, we pay for training. And so we get better at golf. Or whatever it is we want to do, whatever helps us in life. We look for help. And the people of Jesus' time needed help. They knew they needed help and they looked for help. We need that today too. We may not always realize that spiritually, but we do need it. We do need it. And I went online and searched for pictures because I've seen these so many times. I'm thinking, what were they thinking? They have a sled loaded up with logs. And I mean loaded. I don't know what they're trying to achieve there. I would be scared to be anywhere near that load. And I don't know how well you can see it, but there's a gentleman standing on top. Obviously, they got them strapped down, and they only have two horses in front of that thing. I don't know. Obviously, or apparently, they can pull that with two horses. This is not the only picture on the web. You go and search, you can find horse teams hooked up to these loads. And how does they pull that? That's a heavy load, isn't it? That is loaded up. I wouldn't want to be anywhere around that thing. And there they are. There they are. So he's using an analogy and a cultivator analogy about the idea of being fatigued and overburdened. Now, these guys are not cultivating. Well, I guess they're kind of cultivating logs there, trees. But it's an analogy, a farming analogy. Being fatigued, tired, and exhausted, and overburdened. If anybody's overburdened, them horses are overburdened, it looks to me like. But there they are. So this is the idea. Jesus lifts burdens. And if we think about the burdens, what burdens did the Jews have? I think it's worthy to consider these. What were the burdens as these Jews, his audience, as he was talking to them, what kind of burdens did they have? Because they could be our burdens today. They had the burden of the Pharisaical religion. Over in Matthew 23, Jesus talks about this burden, and he uses that word. And some of these, as I thought about what kind of burdens they might have been carrying, it was like, oh, wow, okay, I didn't think about that. But the Bible actually calls these burdens. In Matthew 23, in verse 4 through 7, talking about the scribes and Pharisees, they bind heavy burdens that are grievous to be borne, and they put them on men's shoulders. This is exact analogy Jesus is talking about in Matthew 11. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So the religion that the Jews had, what they had turned into the Judaism, was a heavy burden. It was grievous. And so for them, there was a burden for the common people of the Pharisees' religion that they had. There was a burden of the law of Moses. And we've studied this on Wednesday nights as we talked through the Galatians and studied through Galatians. Notice the terminology again is used. The law of Moses was a burden. Now, it was certainly held a purpose. But yet, even then, it was still a burden. So here in Galatians 5, verse 1 through 6, I'll just read part of that in chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, stand anchored in the liberty, opposite of bondage, liberty, burdens, bondage, weights, the kind of analogy there, but there's a liberty there. Stand fast with the liberty that is in Jesus that has made us free. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And that was the law. In that particular case, he's talking about specifically circumcision, but also... But one of the topics, specifically, he's talking about any of the law of Moses. That was a burden. He says, stand free in the freedom of Jesus. Stand in the freedom of Jesus. Burden of sin. I closed my Bible. I should have done that. Should have known better. Still in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians, there's another burden that is lifted there. And Paul talks about it. And that is by leaving the law of Moses and that burden, there's another burden he talks about being lifted, and it's the burden that we're justified by Jesus Christ. That's the burden of our sin. And I just chose, actually, if we look verse 15 of Galatians 2, starting there, but that's not where I want to actually read from. Let's read verse 20. I am crucified with Jesus, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there he's talking about being justified by faith in Jesus. And he kind of references that earlier in other passages. We are justified by Jesus. The burden of sin is lifted for us. And we all have that. We may not all have the burden of the Pharisees' religion. Today we may not have the burden of the law of Moses, although there are some binding trying to bind that. That burden's been lifted. Jesus also lifted our burden of sin. He lifted our burden of sin. He also lifts the burden of life under the sun. The burden of life under the sun. And I stumbled upon this one. The idea is that we have relief from this life, that our physical body is going to be toilsome. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. There's going to be hardships. But this is lifted from us, an offering of it at least. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 through 10, in particular verse 2, he says, therefore, in this we groan earnestly to be desired, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. And so that we groan earnestly, that difficulty, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan being burdened. And he continues on there and see what scripture reference I pulled that from, what verse there. That's in that section of verse 10. I didn't write that. Well, I probably did over my notes. In verse 2 and 3, I should have read the next verse. So if being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That's not the verse. It's verse 4. Verse 2 and 4. And so verse 2, we groan earnestly, being desired to clothe with our house which is from heaven. Verse 4, that while we are in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but we should be clothed with that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The idea is we have heaven waiting for us. We're going to shed this body, this tabernacle. This body that's breaking down and dying, that's falling apart. We have that burden is going to be lifted for us. We have that hope. Now we have to bear with this burden while we're here. That's part of the message, all right, of Matthew 11. We're going to have to bear part of our burden here, and part of that is to live in this body, in this tabernacle, as Paul uses there in 2 Corinthians. So Jesus does offer lifting of burdens, but it's not, he doesn't lift all burdens. We kind of made that point, right? Jesus offers a yoke, but it's an easy yoke. It's an easy yoke. It is a burden, but it also is a coupling together. And I don't know that I always thought about this. I think of a yoke as what you put around the horses or the oxen neck that carries, that you attach the load to, and we're yoked. But it also is a coupling together. The idea is we're not individuals. We're not in this solo. We're not in this by ourselves. We're in this together. And the idea of being together is probably a couple of things, but in particular, I just focus on the idea that Jesus bears a yoke with us in some ways. And his yoke is easy. The idea of being useful, wholesome, even profitable. So versus the burden that we bear, the yoke of the world and the difficulties that we bear in the world, they're not wholesome. This that Jesus offers is useful, is profitable for us. And I brought this up, and as you see, here's another team of horses. This guy is probably pulling some kind of mower. And the idea, they're yoked together. That there is a harness here and here, and they're tied together. And we don't use these today, It was cool, some of our friends in Idaho, actually it's the same friends that we have Bible studies with occasionally, they have draft horses, and I think I've used that reference before. They have draft horses, and I've watched them put all this gear, you may not be able to tell it, but there's all kinds of straps and such like on these horses so that they can pull. The idea is these guys are yoked together and they're to pull together, and this team is most likely selected and put, these two horses in particular, are put together because they work well together. And the idea is it's not just one of them working, and one of them's not slacking, the other one doing all the work. There is help there. There's assistance. It's not solo. And that comes out, I didn't think about this, but what is this called on the airplane? It's yoked, right? It's yoked. What does it mean? They're yoked together. You move, the co-pilot moves his stick. What happens to the pilot stick? It moves too. They're yoked. And so that concept, I probably missed that most of the time if I've talked about and thought about what Jesus has talked about there. Jesus offers useful burdens. So not only does he offer an easy yoke, he offers a useful burden. The idea of the burden is that of a load or freight or a pack, in other words, on a pack animal, those kind of things. But his burden is light. In other words, it's not overloaded. Like that team of horses had that logs, that big pile of logs. Jesus did not offer an overload. He offered a light and bearable burden. Light and bearable. So we are not free of yokes, of a yoke. We're not free of a burden. But they're good for us. Jesus says they're right for us. And so when our God tells us that, we know that that's the case. And so we need Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burdens are useful or profitable to us. But what of it? It is a relief, remember, not the ending of labor, but labor that's profitable. And it's not an overburden. It's lighter and useful for us. And I like this analogy. A commentator had noted this. It's like feathers on a bird. Are feathers a burden to a bird? No. They're not a burden. He's got to have them, but it's useful. And that's the way Jesus' burdens are. They're useful. I don't know if you've thought about this. I thought about some analogies this morning. My glasses are a burden. Okay? If you got glasses, most of us start getting glasses, right? You ever get one that fall down your nose? You just got to keep picking them up. You know, you got to pick it up. That's annoying, man. I'm a burden. But can you live without them? Not very easily. They're useful. As annoying as it might be at times, as difficult as it might be, they wear blisters on the back of your ear if you don't get them adjusted right. They do the same thing in your nose. They're all kinds of bad things, but they're good for you. Well, and you could certainly, if I knew what I was doing, I could straighten mine out and they wouldn't do that, but that's beside the point, right? They're somewhat of a burden, but really we don't look at them as burdens because there's so much benefit. There's so much benefit. Steel-toe work boots, I despise them. Okay, they're heavy, and that old steel toe up there just wasn't made for my foot. But they're beneficial, they're useful. You know, there was a lot of times in manufacturing where we didn't have to wear glasses. Well, before my entrance in manufacturing, you didn't have to wear glasses. They had no such thing as safety glasses. I guess you just did, you know, no earplugs. Are they a burden? It takes a while to get used to, but after you get used to them, they're not really a burden anymore, are they? They're not really a burden. Is a lawnmower a burden? Try to live without one. You got to work on the thing. I despise lawnmowers that have flats all the time. Mine always had flats. I just despise it. Like, you know, it won't start, or I need gas, or the belt's loose, or the deck's not cattywampus, so it leaves a scar. You ever tried to live without a lawnmower? It's a burden because you have to work on it, you have to put gas in it. In reality, you can't live without it, though, right? So it's useful. It has a benefit. It's not that it may not be difficult even. You know, our standards for measuring what's hard are different. What's hard for me may not be hard for you. What you find easy may be hard for me. But Jesus says his burdens are useful. His burdens are light. And if we have the right perspective, we can realize that. We can find them as useful as the eyeglasses that we wear on our face, or as useful as our lawnmower or safety equipment we may be needing to utilize. It is like feathers on a bird. Yes, it's there, but it's not a burden. And it makes sometimes we have to recognize the perspective. We have to train our perspective. And I don't know if we use this term up here. It's kind of getting aged a little bit. You ever work something like a rented mule? The idea was you didn't care what you did to him because he wasn't yours. You beat him, you whip him, you run him in the ground, right? That was a term that I heard often in Arkansas. You work somebody like a rented mule. That's not what Jesus is about. That's not what Jesus is doing. He offers useful burdens and yokes. Well, everybody, I already went through these. You ever get tired of carrying a wallet around and your purse around? You know, it's useful. It can be useful, but then again, it gets in the way. But if we train ourselves to think about these things in the right perspective, what things do we need to train ourselves on? First thing that's not a burden, this is actually a burden that's lifted from us, is the fruit of the Spirit in our life. What will lift our burdens in this life, what will make life good, blessed, and the best for us, is to produce these fruit. And certainly, it is not my intention or goal today to go through in detail of what these are. We've talked about some of them. We will talk about more of them, but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Those are useful. Yeah, you know what? Some days it may be hard to love somebody. It may be hard to find joy in our lives. It may be hard to be patient with. It may be hard to be gentle or good and meek. It may be hard for our self-control. There may be some days some of these are hard, but it's a useful burden. It is something that we can learn to adapt to. Our life will certainly be best but living by these. Trials, we talked about those. Are trials useful? Yes. Are they easy? Not necessarily. They do good things. We study those in James. The trying of our faith produces endurance. And so that is good for us. It's beneficial. Yes, it's hard. It is a burden, but it's not grievous burden, to use another term we've talked about. Then there are burdens that we need to ditch. We just need to cast these off. We don't need to have these any part of our lives. These are damaging. They are hard. They destroy us. Leads to a life that is not what God wants of us, and it is a life of the most miserable nature in this world. In particular, if we just look at the works of the flesh, those are based on sexuality, sensuality, those associated with idolatry and reveling. God said these are bad. Now, we may not fully understand this in some parts of our life, but the reality is God said these are bad. These are damaging. These are heavy burdens we don't carry. You have to ditch this particular burden and put them away. They cannot be part of our life. As well as the ones associated with our relationships. We talk about animosity, rivalry, quarreling and fighting, envy, wrath, division, strife, politics, spite. All those things are cancers in our lives. All these are cancers in our lives. They are heavy burdens. They are damaging. God offers and instructs us, hey, look, put these off. You want to live a good life? Get rid of these things. And God has promised us that these are bad. And so we can do that. But that is a burden. We think about anxiety being a damaging. Anxiety is. Anxiety is something that burdens us. It's a burden we're not to bear. In particular, if we look at Philippians, we're to give it to God. Let's look at that, Philippians 4. This one's queued up for something I plan on presenting as a lesson sometime soon. You know, anxiety is one of the joy killers from the fruit of the Spirit. This will zap the joy out of your life. You can't be happy if you have anxiety. And so Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In Philippians 4:6, King James says careful, but the word is anxious. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let the request be made known unto God. Give it to God. So rejoice. Notice what's the attributes that's brought out here. Joy, peace, being prayerful, faith, gentleness, forbearance are all mentioned here in this passage as you read through it, as you study it. Some more of what we didn't read. Anxiety is a joy killer. Anxiety is a burden that we can bear. God says don't. I mean, first of all, he said be joyful. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That shows that you're living a Spirit-led life. But anxiety is something that zaps and steals. That is a heavy burden. And that's one we don't need to bear. And what's great about this passage of Jesus, he is begging, please come to me. Give me your burdens. Let me help you with your burdens. He's begging and even pleading, come unto me, all you who labor. Tells me Jesus is approachable. And Hebrew writer touches on that. And this is one of the passages I reference often, and it's something that I have just been engraved in stone, I guess, in my mind, which are very few things that happen like that anymore. But Jesus is very approachable. The first point here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, the fact that he took on the nature of man, he is a merciful and faithful high priest because he lived like us. He's not some king sitting in a posh palace somewhere that's never seen what life is like. He's lived and he set foot on this ground and walked these streets and suffered hunger and suffered pain and injury. He can and understands our nature. He understands what we're going through. And again, the sympathetic aspect is brought up in Hebrews 4. And I will read a part of Hebrews 4 here, verse 14 through 16. It says there, Hebrews 4, 14, seeing we have a great high priest, he's passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, he's lived like we have. He's lived in the flesh. It says, continuing, he was in all points tempted like we are, yet he done it without sin. And then the answer for us is, therefore, verse 16, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy or may obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. He is sympathetic. He wants us to come. He begs and pleads us. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus promises that and offers that to us. We need Jesus. And I think probably everybody recognizes that. We realize we need. Maybe we don't always put to work this analogy here that we can be fatigued. We can be overburdened and overweighed with the things of this life even. They can weigh us down and destroy us. We need Jesus. Jesus offers relief from that. He will relieve our heavy burdens and give us easy and useful ones. He will give us easy and useful. Realizing how beneficial the fruit of the Spirit is. When we live that life, it is truly the greatest life. That's the only way to live. The rest and the works of the flesh, is there's just a burden there. It's a hard life. And not to mention the fact it doesn't end in eternal life in heaven with God. But even life here, living in the work of the flesh, is a burden. And so, as in with farming, let the team of oxen or horses or whatever you have in front of you, let them do the heavy lift. That's what they're there for, and that's kind of what Jesus done for us. Jesus did our heavy lift. What did he do? He saved us from our sins. That was a heavy lift. He gave us an example of living right and carrying those burdens. So he carries our heaviest burdens, doesn't he? Jesus does that. But he offers us rest. He shares in our burdens. And as we live here, he shares in those because he helps us by giving us guidance. He helps us in other ways for protection from Satan. He will give us rest. He will give us relief. Not the I'm going to retire and sit in a recliner for the rest of my life rest. He gives us relief from overburdensome life, from burdens of sin, all those things. Come one, come all. Jesus is approachable. Jesus is sympathetic. You know, there's one thread of the Calvinist doctrine. The most extreme views of that doctrine state that God has already picked everybody, no matter what they do. It still amazes me that they hold that doctrine. That makes Jesus a liar here. He said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden." He's saying, "Everybody come." But Jesus is approachable. He is sympathetic. Jesus gives us relief from the burdens of sin. We can't carry that, can we? We can't carry that burden around with us. It is a burden that will destroy us. We have to give it to Jesus. One of the great and easy parts about discipleship is that of giving Jesus that burden. Jesus says and taught, and his apostles taught, that you can dump your burden of the sin in your life by confessing he is a Savior, and by having your sins washed away. By washing the sin away, those burdens that this gentleman here in this meme is carrying gets chunked into this dumpster, and he walks away free of those burdens. You can do that as well, just by answering that salvation, that call to be saved. If you've already been saved, it's even easier than that. We have examples in Acts 8 of Simon the sorcerer. The apostles told him, Simon, go and pray to God that your sin be forgiven. Jesus did not make it hard. He made something that everybody can do. Have you done that? Have you picked and have you let Jesus carry your heavy burden? And have we begun to carry the burden of life that we need to carry, the one that's useful, the one that's light, and the one that Jesus helps with, that is living the Christian life and the godly life? Have you begun that? Are you doing that? And if you failed in that matter, then we can help you. We'll let you know now. Come and let us know. We'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. So if you would like to respond to our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?